Hello, this is Gavin McCoy, and on the Internet Marketing Podcast today, my guest is Neil Stafford, who swapped his corporate career for an online business. Today, you'll discover what exactly was the unusual product he sold to get started, and how he felt when he got his very first sale, and the secret of generating an endless recurring income from simple membership sites, plus much, much more as we say hello to Neil Stafford.
Hi, Gavin. Good to speak to you again.
When did you kick off in internet marketing?
Oh, my word. I always say back when the internet was gas-powered. So very short story. When the internet started taking off, if you remember the mid-1990s, web designers were getting paid a fortune to build simple 3, 4, 5-page websites. So I said, oh, I can do that. I'm sure I can. So I walked into a local computer shop in Wigan, where I live in the northwest of England, and it's still there to this day. One of these in like an old converted terrace house with computer parts everywhere. And I said, I want to build websites. He said, you need Dreamweaver. I said, I love it. He goes, it's £300, which is about $500. I went, oh, that's a lot. But I managed to take a deep breath and bought it. And then I wandered over to the local bookstore, and I bought The Idiot's Guide to HTML, which is like the forerunners to the Dummies book, and proceeded to try and teach myself how to build websites. Well, long story short, I did, and my word, they were ugly. They were really, really ugly. But I saw I saw some sort of potential in it. Fast forward a couple of years, and my first sale online was back in May 1998, and that was for, believe it or not, an oil painting. Now, I wasn't the artist. My design skills and artistic skills are like a three-year-old with a crayon, but a friend of mine was an artist. And it developed out of an idea that we had where I used to go with him to craft fairs and, exhibitions to keep him company. And one time a lady came up to me and said, does he do paintings from photographs? And I went, yes. I had no idea whether he did or not. I went, yes. Took a deposit and said to my friend Paul, said, Paul, can you do this? He said, yes. So he did a painting from photographs. She was happy. So we started commissioning more paintings from photographs. Then we placed adverts in magazines where people would ring up for an information pack. Now, this is pre-digital photography. So we had to take photographs of his paintings, scan them and put them onto, printed material and send them out. And they'd send it back with an order form and a check. And that's how that went on. And I went, oh, I've got an idea. Why don't we, instead of getting them to ring up for an information pack, this newfangled internet thing, we can send them online because I know how to build websites, ugly websites. They can read it and then they can sort it out online. Now, I always call myself and Paul back then Dumb and Dumber because we have no way of taking payments. There was no PayPal. There was certainly no Stripe or any way of taking payments online except with a bank merchant account, and they wanted blood, your firstborn, and profits for life. So what we did was we simply put the brochure up online, ugly website. And to put it into context, we placed the advert in a magazine and we used GeoCities for our hosting because they gave free web space. But that meant our website address was geocities.com/squigglyline3754, a really horrible domain name. But we did it. We placed the advert, waited for the magazine to come out. And to put it into context, an order came through, but what the person had to do was buy the magazine, take it home and read it, read the classifieds in the back, see our advert, go to the computer, turn it on. Now, this is 1998, remember, mm-hmm. So they weren't fast to turn on. Connect to the internet with dial-up, load this ugly-looking website, read through it, print off an order form, ready? Write the order form, write the check, write the envelope, put the stamp on an envelope and walk down to a post box and post it to us. But lo and behold, that's what happened. And I would love, Gavin, to be able to say it was on this date in May. I just can't remember the date. But I know it was May 1998 that this envelope popped through the letterbox with a check inside for back then £95, about $140 at the time, $150. And it was our first order generated online, although it was an offline payment, if that makes sense.
Now, despite those disjointed steps that led to your first sale, Neil, how did you feel looking at that check?
Wow, basically. I always talk about tipping points with people. So that was our tipping point, first sale generated online. And the tipping point is, this could work. you know, this, there is something in this, and it drives belief. And whether you're going for your first sale online, you know, your first $1,000 month, your first $10,000 or pound month, each one of those is a tipping point that takes you past that point of flipping heck, this works, where could it go?
Now, for many of us, our foray into internet marketing is in fact a plan to escape from a day job which takes too much time and probably doesn't pay too much. If I'm able to ask you, Neil, what did you do prior to breaking into this business of internet marketing or information marketing?
Yeah, so past, you know, past careers have been working for an insurance company in customer service, working in shops. Been a DJ, mobile and club DJ for a good few years. And when I started looking at the internet side, I'd actually settled down into a bit of a career in the financial services industry. And I always say I can't give a rags to riches story because I had a, you know, a pretty good career. I was climbing the career ladder. But one thing I did was look ahead, and I didn't like what I saw where I was going to be in 5 or 10 years. And again, these little things that happen to you. Many years ago, when I was, you know, 15, 16 years old, a family member who was very successful said, have a plan B, Neil. Always have a plan B. Now, my DJing was plan B for a while because I worked and DJed before I went DJing full time. And then when I started in financial services, I was still doing DJing, but because of the way the career took off, I stopped the DJing. But this internet thing came along, so that started to be my plan B. So my career was well paid. It had great bonuses, company car, you know, or et cetera, et cetera. So from the outside looking in, you know, you say, oh, they're successful. But what they didn't see was the company owned you, basically. And the higher you climbed up the ladder, you know, the more and more successful you had, the more and more income you had, but less and less time you had. You know, I've had phone calls at 1 o'clock in the morning to put a paper together to be released to the stock market because something has been said, you know, by my boss's boss ringing me up. And that was another tipping point, thinking, hang on a minute, this isn't right if they can do that and get me to, you know, ask me to do it, which I did. It got released at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, job done. So with me, it was more of a, okay, then let's get this plan B rolling again and see where it can get to.
Now, Neil, your first excursion into using the internet as a marketing vehicle was for solid, tangible products. Of course, today, the biggest part of our industry is selling information products. What was your first attempt at that?
Yeah, so after the sale with the painting, the oil painting, we did more of that with Paul. And looking back, you know, maybe he said, okay, what we should have done is really gone to town and owned that market. But I think I did what everybody does and disappeared down the internet marketing rabbit hole of trying to find a way of doing things different, better, shortcuts. And you start investing in different courses and products. Now, back then, there were some people selling training products, which we invested in. And that led me to digital products. So my first digital product sale was round about the end of that year. It was round about December 98, January 99. And this will make you laugh, Gavin. It was for a report. But the report, again, was sold with a printable order form. So they had to print off the order form and send a check in. This is for a digital product, remember? So the check came. When the check came, I sent them the report that they bought. And I sent it as a Word document, as an attachment to an email. No PDF, no click here to download. It was sent on email as a Word document. So that was my first digital product sale. From then, we looked deeper. I managed to get in this country what's called a WorldPay account, which is an online merchant account. So that was my first online merchant account. So we started selling, you know, online. People were able to download the products and pay online. And my first membership site, which one of my favorite information products, was launched in 2003.
In internet marketing or information marketing nowadays, you can either sell a one-off product with a big launch, or you can do what you did, think about what we term recurring income. And I want you to tell me something about this this membership site business. Now, presumably, in order to succeed in that, you have to find a group of people with a common interest who are willing to pay for information.
Correct. Yeah. And you know, the opportunity today for a membership site or a continuity program where people will pay you on a regular basis, regularly, typically being monthly, but it can be quarterly, half yearly, can be annually, but typically, for this example, let's say monthly. And two questions I say with a membership site is two big questions to ask yourself is, why will they join? And once they've joined, what's the overriding reason they will stay paying you month after month? And those are two easy questions to ask, but they need a bit of thinking to keep people, you know, engaged and involved. But as far as groups of people, having done this for a while now and worked with a lot of people on their membership and continuity programs, there is a niche and a market for everything from the mass market to the weird and the extreme and the funny niches.
Now, I spoke to somebody a couple of years ago in terms of weird niches, and they were selling information, subscriptions on, I think they call these things pocket pigs.
Love it.
It was astonishing.
Yeah, love
because,
it.
You know, you think, well, who would possibly buy this? But the people who are fans of those little tiny pets are avid readers of anything published on that kind of information.
Correct. Our first membership site was aimed at people who coach and run junior football teams, junior soccer teams. So it wasn't aimed at professional coaches. It was aimed at the unsung heroes, the parents who get roped into and volunteered and dragged into coaching their kids' soccer team. So I teamed up with a friend of mine who was a soccer coach at the time, very new soccer coach. He'd only been coaching his team for about 6 or 9 months. But we entered that market from the position of, listen, we're just like you. This is what we do. This is the team that we coach. This is how long we've been coaching. What we're going to do is we're going to discuss and report back everything that we do. We're going to tell you what worked, what didn't, what training we did, what things we found out, how we deal with parents. Come along for the ride. So our first product in that market, this will make you laugh, Gavin, was a cassette tape, was an interview on a cassette tape, three C60 cassettes that we sold, which then led to the membership site in 2003. And all we did was report back what was happening with our team, well, my friend's team. I used to play pretty good as a kid, semi-pro, as a goalkeeper, so I talk about goalkeeping, but he was the one who did the coaching badges. I didn't have any coaching badges, so it was a great marry-up of, I knew online marketing, I'm a big interest in soccer fan. You know, he is a soccer coach. We got on well together. It was a good coming together. And we developed that business. 2003 we started. Like I said, the site is still going to this day, many years later. So finding that market of people who have an interest in something is not, I'll use the word, is not hard. It's not easy. It's simple, if that makes sense. But you've got to find out why, what's the overriding reason they would join your site. And then what's the overriding reason they'll stay a member? And there's many different variations of a membership site or a continuity program. Like I said, pocket pigs, were they delivering versions of these or talking about them? Or
they were talking about them.
Yeah.
And it truly amazed me because we're all in search of a, what we'd term a lucrative niche. But, you know, there are so many things there that could be a viable market for an information service we simply don't know about. I mean, my tip, Neil, would be for anyone who is thinking about this for the first time is to go to a branch of Smith's and have a look at all of those monthly magazines that might be vintage cars, they might be holidays, they might be knitting. There are literally thousands of them there. If you need a bit of an idea about finding these, go and have a look at those magazines from end to end of the rack at WH Smith, and you'll walk out inspired and think, now, how could I chop one of those niches up, for example, steam trains, into something a bit smaller? You know, you might find a sub-niche that might be viable and lucrative for you.
Yeah, over the years, we've launched, obviously, a number of membership sites, some which were in as part of our business strategy. Other ones were to be done for a bit of fun and to show our customers and clients what can be done. So, for example, many years ago at one of our events on stage, I was talking about membership sites and a particular style of membership site called fixed term. And a fixed term membership site is a membership site that has a definitive start and end point. And so I said to the people, I said, right, what I'm going to do, I'm going to create a new fixed term membership site and I'm going to write about it and let you guys know how we developed it. So what I want you to do is I want you to shout out potential topics. That was the first mistake, letting your audience choose what we're going to do. So one of the things that came out was keeping chickens, a membership site on keeping chickens. Now, I said that's a good idea, but I'm not going to do that because at the time we had two clients who were in that market. So I said, keep shouting out. And somebody shouted out, keeping pet ducks. And the audience got on that and said, yes. I said, oh, okay. All right. So keeping pet ducks. So I did my research, and you wouldn't believe it, Gavin. On Facebook alone back then, there was over 9 million people who have an interest in ducks and pet ducks. I know, crackers. I did my research, and everything indicated there was an interest in people wanting to know how to keep pet ducks. Now, to me, you know, these things have got wings and fly away, but hey, you know, people want to keep pet ducks. So I did the research. Now, I'm not an expert in pet ducks. So what I did, I went and found somebody else who had information on keeping and breeding ducks. And I asked him, could I license his information, which means pay him a fee to be able to use his information as I wish. So we agreed a fee. I bought that information. I then chopped that information up, as you just said, into segments or lessons or updates, whatever you want to call it, modules. And we created a 9-month fixed-term membership site where information was released every 2 weeks. So people joined, they paid one monthly fee, then every 2 weeks a module was released on keeping pet ducks. I didn't write it, I didn't create the content, but I did the research, found out the interest, found out what people were asking about, then went and found a product that I could license and brought that back. Now, it wasn't going to set the world on fire. It was $9.95 a month. I think the most members we had was a couple of hundred, touching 300 when we were doing it. So it was a nice income, but it just goes to show what is possible. And as you rightly said, a collection of people who have an interest in the topic, would they be willing to pay for it?
It is truly amazing that even though the business of internet marketing has been going for, I don't know, probably 20 years now from start to finish, that there are still niches to be found. There are still seams of gold to be found that somebody can come along with fresh eyes and discover. And as this podcast is aimed at newbies, maybe, Neil, with your vast experience, you can tell us a couple of mistakes that people tend to make when they set up membership sites.
Yeah, so some of the mistakes that you see online is thinking that you have to be an expert. Okay, so that's one of the mistakes people make with membership sites, or one of the reasons they don't get into it, they think they have to be an expert. That's certainly not the case. Now, don't ever say you're an expert if you're not. Don't ever claim to be an authority if you're not, but you can put your marker in the sand, your position in the market, as we did with the soccer site to begin with, which is, hey, we're just like you. We're going to report back what works and what doesn't. Come along for the ride. Now, nearly 17 years later, that site is seen as an expert site and an authority site in the market. But it didn't start off like that. And again, the mistake about thinking you have to be an expert alongside that mistake is comparing your now with somebody else's right now. And what I mean by that is, if you're comparing yourself to somebody in the market doing something that you want to do, you need to go back to when they were at your starting point. So don't look at them now. Don't look at right now. Look at where they've come from. And they're not you and you aren't them. You have your perspective. You have your view. You have your knowledge. You have your experience. And you're not after everybody in the market. That's what people need to remember. You're after the people who will resonate with your approach, your style, your information, how you put things across. Now, when we started in the soccer coaching market, there was no other amateur soccer membership site online. There was professional ones. There was FIFA, the FA, German League. But the problem at the time was all these other sites and products, all the images, and back then the videos before DVDs, VHS as DVDs were coming in, they were all of professional training grounds where the grass was perfectly manicured. The kids were all stood to attention in perfect kits, listening to the coach and doing it. Where in reality at a weekend is, you don't know how many kids are going to turn up. You have to get down there early to clear the pitch of all the glass, the stones, and the dog muck. And then you have to then see which kids are going to turn up and train them. That's reality of grassroots soccer. So that's where we came from, and that's where our appeal came from. Now, since then, there are now hundreds, if not thousands, of different soccer training sites online. Do we still sell and bring members in? Absolutely. Because although there's information out there and there's a metric ton of free information, what they're not getting is our approach, our style, our experience, what we bring to the table. So don't ever think you need to be an expert to start a membership site. You just need to be able to put information over, help your members get the result that you're promising them. So if you're new to a market, say you're new, and share your experience and your examples and help your members learn from that. Then as you grow with experience, you bring more to the table. Another mistake a lot of newbies make is thinking that they have to have a lot of content to start a membership site.